people, welcome to another episode of the Adia Talks podcast. This is quite an interesting episode we have lined up today. We're going to be talking about something quite enlightening, you know, on the social side of things, and just, you know, something to be mindful of. It will appeal to everyone, really, in some way. You have a role to play, and probably more to creatives, but like, as I said, everyone has a role to play in this. So do have a listen. It's great. I have a great guest with me on today. So really, really excited. So let's get into it.
Hello, Mr. Gauzy. Are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Mo.
Wonderful. I'm super excited about this episode.
Oh, thank you for having
me. Ear Talks podcast, because we have a special guest, as you guys can tell. So I'm going to let him introduce himself, because he's like one of my, I was going to say ogas, but I realize that I have listeners from all over the world. He's one of, like, you know, one of those people you call like your boss, or like who's, you know, miles ahead of you, and you're like, ah, sir, you know, I'm looking, or rather, sir, gosh, I need to be proper, sir, I'm looking up to you, you know. So his name is Mr. Gauzy, but I'll let him introduce himself. So thank you for being on. I'll hand over to you to just introduce yourself, give us a short snippet of what you do, etc.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo. Thank you for having me on your podcast. It's a great privilege. My name is Gauziem. That's how you'd say it, but most people call me Gauz. Some people call me Gauzy. It's all the same thing. It's all a variation of the same name. So I'm not precious. I'm a music architect and I run a music architectural company. Now, what is that? Some people would ask. Well, it's my wife helped me with that name, and it's just because I do quite a few different things within the music industry. But trying to explain it to people became a bit of a chore and a bit of a task. Okay, cool. So, well, I do this, and then I risked sounding like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, okay, actually, you know what? This encapsulates it all.
Yeah.
And so, as an example, I can take people's concepts and make them final products. So someone comes to me and says, oh, I have an idea and I want to make an album. I'm thinking it might be, you know, 8 to 12 songs. And I sit down with them, work it through. You know, I design whatever it is they're trying to do all around music, and then build the product. Sometimes it might be a concert. Sometimes it might be a live recording, which is, I think, how we've met a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked concerts or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, so that's what I do. But I'm the guy behind the scenes, paddling real fast and hard underneath the water, just to make everything run smoothly on top. So that's the easiest way to describe what I do, but it's all around music, because music is who I am. Music is my passion.
I have never heard anyone describe themselves as a music architect, and I actually absolutely love it, because I think today I was thinking a lot about boxes. One of my pet peeve in life, the first pet peeve, is being put in a box or being categorized. And I know that some people are very like straight and narrow, this is how they are. But when you're very multidimensional, which is something I've grown to understand and accept, I think that second part of accepting about myself was difficult just because of other people. But as I began to embrace it and God began to open my eyes to that, I liked it. And then I understood why I hated being, or rather hate is a strong word, but I disliked being put in boxes. And sometimes that when you're multidimensional, finding that description of yourself is a bit like, oh, I do, you
it's
know,
difficult.
And then you go on to describe the things you do link to who you are. But yeah, music architect is one of a kind. I really, really like that. That's fantastic.
I have my wife to thank for that.
Thank you to her. I won't mention her name.
I never told her.
I was checking out her Instagram the other day, because I'm kind of rocking the natural hair now. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, man. No, you guys should hook up.
But It just happened.
Yes,
But
you guys should hook up.
yeah, and you mentioned how we met. Like, I don't remember when I met you, but it's been a while. But I'm sure
Yes.
I met you probably, or you know, maybe I was introduced to you very loosely at some point, but I didn't really kind of get to know you until further, like, you know, further down the line. But it was definitely something
Yes.
music related, maybe a mutual friend's concert or something must be
Yeah.
along those lines.
I've been one of those things, but those things are so fast-paced, so it's
Yeah.
quite hard
Yeah.
to build any solid relationships in a
Yes.
fast-paced environment.
But I then got to meet girl, I'll call you girls. Like, then got to meet you properly, or get to know you a bit better when we went to Israel, you know. And
Yeah.
then get, you know, I then understood, you know, this is Apostle God. Sorry, I'm going to. I know you know what I mean. I know you're probably shocked, but that's what's gonna, you know. So in my view, God's an apostle. But anyway, I then got to know you a lot around, you know, that period. And that was fantastic. It was such a good time, you know. Yeah, it was wonderful. And
Yes.
then I've just, you know, so that's how he's my, like, you know, I look up to him in the music sphere and all the things he's doing and all of that, you know. So amazing. I'm so glad to have you on.
Yes, thank you.
So we're going to be talking today about something probably like slightly different to what I've spoken about before. On this podcast, I tend to really move in the direction God leads me to. So it's a life podcast. We talk about different things, different aspects of life. It might be like I might, you know, have a download and just really want to share that with you guys and different things. So I've had a few guests on the podcast, but you are the first male guest because our previous guests were
Ah.
all like, she wins. It was all about, you know, the female. So you are the first male guest. So our podcast isn't just for females, it's for males, you know. So you're pioneering this for us.
Wow, what a privilege. Yeah,
And, you know,
what a
today we are
privilege.
talking about, you know, before for once I just call it having a topic, you know, we're just catching up and chatting, but we're speaking about music and mental health. And it's interesting. I know I called you maybe a couple of days ago. We spoke a couple of days ago about this, and
Yes.
the sort of, you know, how it sort of came to me was quite interesting. I remember I was in the kitchen and literally just kind of sparked a plug in my head, because I think that day I'd hosted something at work, and something came up about mental health and being that, and then the reference was made to Mental Health Week, being this week we're in now, which is the week you guys will listen to the podcast. So
Yes.
week 18th, I believe, to 23rd of May is Mental Health Awareness Week. So
Right.
that kind of, I think that sparked the plug, and I was like, music, and because I guess we're both, you know, in the, I don't like to call it an industry, but we're both in music somehow, and you know, we do
Yes.
different things. We've come across so many people. We, you know, call it ministry as well. We see so many things, all of that. We kind of ex been exposed. You've probably been exposed to way more people, but we've been exposed to a number of people, be it in music, in life, all of that. And you know, the more I've kind of grown up and the more I've seen, especially with creatives, is that mental health is extremely important. And there's a way it's kind of, there's a perception sometimes about mental health that make it feel like it's a stigma, or there's something, you know.
Yes.
There's so many reasons for that, you know. I think the work thing kind of came from a discussion around, it was with a group of, you know, a specific, you know, group of people, and it was referenced, you know, in the way of race as well, or like culture. You know, there's a culture element to how you address mental health, and some cultures it's all hush hush, and so there are many different dimensions and aspects to it. But I thought it was definitely, when it sort of clicked in my head, I was like, this is something very important to speak about, because you
Yes.
know, it's Awareness Week, all sorts of reasons, recognize all of that, and we want to, you know, from all of this, try to help whoever is listening to this. You might be someone who's struggled with it, you might be someone who's not even heard of it, or you just, you know, a bit inquisitive, or you know someone, or you might be in a different, you know, whatever kind of side of the fence you're on. But just whatever, we want to just share some things that I believe have been inspired by Holy Spirit to us, and also just share, you know, what we found in terms of helping, etc. So maybe I'll start with a statistic. Let me talk about this. Statistic, and then we'll go.
Yes.
And I didn't want to grab too many statistics and like start coming into so much agreement with them, but I just view them as facts, not truth, but just facts, right?
It's what it is. Yes.
So it's Mental Health Week. There's a lot about it, you know, in the press, everywhere you look. Funny enough, they have a theme every year, and this year is called Random Acts of Kindness, and it's very, I guess maybe COVID inspired that, I don't know, but you know, very relevant.
Right.
So the stat, this is from a UK stat, says, you know, 1 in 6 people in the past week, this is the stat, have
had
a common mental health problem. So that's 1 in 6 people in the past week. And then it's also not a statistic, but a statement says, you know, mental health issues are the main causes of overall disease burden. Is one of the main causes of overall disease burden, and I guess like just the healthcare system, etc. Right. And it probably stems from maybe not just mental health in isolation. It probably triggers other things as well. So that's, you know, that's where that's coming from. So there's so many other stats available, but I didn't want to like start quoting this and quoting that, and I'm very careful about what I come into agreement with. So
yes,
all of that. But I guess what is your I guess, but maybe I'll caveat with saying neither of us are like medically, you know, trained or all of that, but we're just sharing from experience. And as I say, as Holy Spirit has inspired us, and you know, but your side of things, your experience, everything you've seen, what are your thoughts around, I guess, musicians or people in the arts, maybe I'll say creatives and mental health? Like, is that something that is a thing? Or is it just like, well, you're just making this up?
It's definitely a thing. Definitely a thing. And actually, quite a big thing, actually. I think there has been almost like an increased awareness and talk about it within the creative space. But, I mean, I haven't honestly come into contact with loads of people, but the few I have seen and some of my observations, and even potentially just thinking about it after we spoke a couple of days ago, like potentially places that I might have experienced things I might have experienced myself firsthand. It's so important, and it's a big deal, because in the creative space, in the musician space, the honest truth is, when you create with all of your being.
Yeah.
Right. So it's almost like it's like it's like giving birth to a baby. This is part of you. So it's almost like saying to a mom who is just, you know, a newborn or a new mom, and you know, normally when you see a new mom, the first thing you say is, oh, your baby's so cute, you know, that you just never say anything other than that.
Yeah.
And if you liken it to that, you create and you put your work out there, it's like the same feelings, like this has been inside of me for so long, or, you know, I've birthed this from inside of me. And then someone just comes and looks at it and says, oh, I don't like it, or listens to it and says, oh, I don't like it. Oh, yeah, nah, it's not that great, you know. It does something to your psyche. And depending on how mentally strong you are, it can start to, you know, chip away at, you know, your mind, and you start to hear those words, because, you know, the same way the Bible says faith comes by hearing, it's very important what you allow feed your mind, because then that now kind of gets embedded. And it becomes your thoughts, it becomes your actions, and it's something that you without even you realizing it, it marinates in your system and it goes into your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So before you realize it, you start to hear the words of those people, and it becomes what your belief system is built on.
Yeah.
And then before you realize it, sometimes you don't even know where it's come from. you're scared to create. So, you know, it was, I looked at it and I remembered that actually that happened to me before. You know, so I would, you know, I'm a producer as well. So I'll produce records and stuff like that. And, you know, whilst I'm not a words of affirmation person, but I quickly came to realize at some point that every creative needs some form of affirmation at some point, some more than others, just because that's they're predisposed to it, because their personality kind of, you know, needs to be fed in that way. But even though it was not my primary or even secondary personality type thing, I needed that feedback. But it would be nice to get some positive feedback, because I put in a lot of time and effort and work and, you know, and so blood, sweat, and tears, I guess, into this project. So I would like to hear at least some good stuff before I hear the bad stuff. So I started realizing that when I heard maybe 50-50, or I read a review of my work and it wasn't that great, I now started to second guess myself when I had to create again. And then sometimes I now started telling myself that I was not good enough to do certain types of work just because of what had happened, you know, from a review or something someone said. And it took me a very long while actually to realize that actually there's no truth in that. It was just, if anything, feedback for that particular thing, as opposed to something wrong with me. So, but it was the right environment, having the right people to talk to, understanding those little nuances changed my whole paradigm. And I just became like, oh, okay, cool. You know what? When someone gives feedback, they're talking about what I did, and what I do is not who I am. So, you know, when someone says something, put it in its place. The significance of that statement is attached to what you have done, but not to who you are. So it was just those kind of things. And then also starting to almost curate my mind space and just who are you allowing in my in, who am I allowing in my mind space kind of thing. So I think that when I just look at it from that perspective, and I looked at it and I remembered that, I realized that this happens like literally on a daily basis. You come off a gig and, you know, someone says something that could send you in on a spiral. Your artist, your musical director, your producer, sound engineer could say something that sends you on a spiral. And if you're not careful and you don't have the right tools to combat it, it starts to erode at you. And then, and also we work in a very highly stressful environment, you know, sometimes just because of the kind of itineraries that we have to keep as musicians. And also it's a competitive space, you know, it's also a highly, I find, judgmental space. You know, so it's not a, yeah, everyone has something to give. There's almost this standard that everyone is judged by, and it also depends on who is considered the authority in that current space, and their personality type determines how people are accepted or not accepted. You know, so I think that all those things playing into coming into play just makes the creative space a very highly volatile space in terms of the mental health side of things. And it's such a big thing that people have low self-esteem as musicians and as singers, and even some people that I've worked with, I find that I'm like thinking, man, you are an amazing singer. And they come out with weird statements, oh, I'm okay. Or when we're recording, you know, someone that I feel is amazing. And, you know, I not to sound pompous or anything, but just my time in the industry, I know when I hear something good, you know. You know, I'm not all there or anything, but I know by now, I know when I hear something good. I've heard a lot of people, and I see someone, I'm thinking, you are amazing. And then I spend half of the time in the studio trying to affirm these people, to try and get anything decent out of them. And I've always wondered what happened. At what point did this erosion begin? Yeah. So it is a big thing. And I think there could even be more light shed on it. There could be more awareness brought to it. And I think that if that be the case, my opinion personally is that I think the creative space would be like more buoyant, and you probably have a lot more interestingly good that stuff coming out creatively, because then people will have freedom of expression as opposed to the limitation of someone else's opinion.
You have said a lot that I completely, agree with. I think I was using that analogy with a friend, on the whole, the baby side of things. I think it, training thing we were talking about, and it was the training was generally for like business people, and it was to kind of, I think it was called something like I Am Remarkable, and it kind of had something to do with like actually, being free to share your story and share like, the good things about your journey with people, to help people, like literally to share the facts about, okay, you've done this, and a lot of it stemmed back, and I was saying like the issue sometimes with people, and I've definitely faced this myself, and probably it's some, some ways kind of still, going through in small different aspects, but is sometimes when you're creative, it's coming from you. You birth something, so it's your precious baby, and some held it back for so long, and God is really like pushing, and you definitely release this thing, and you're just like, now you're then, not maybe scared, but yeah, somehow, you're a bit fearful of like people's opinions, what they're going to think, whether because it's your, it's something you've carried, it's been within you, and it's so precious to you, and you don't want to hear the criticism or the this or the opinions. And I think over the years, thinking a lot of what you said, I think this is the same. It happens like with even, people in, business, or so I work in corporate. I was going to say corporate America. This is an American firm, but it feels like corporate America. But like, and there is an appraisal process, and so often the types I work with are extremely smart. That you literally would get it, and you'd have, they give you your like, the good things in terms of like, you're strong, you're good at this, you're good at that, and then maybe things you need to develop on, which is constructive feedback. It's literally like these are some of the most, the smartest people in the world, to be honest. They would literally go to like constructive feedback straight away. And it's even when like your manager or whoever is going through all the good things, and I do it, it's like, I don't want to hear it. Like, just, yeah, I know. What's the constructive feedback you want to hear? And then you hear the comments, and then sometimes it's quoted, and I don't want to go into too much, but it literally kind of is the same sort of thing. You then start analyzing it, or and over the years, I'm like, why am I actually, taking this thing in? Because you find you take it in, and you might come home that day, and you're a bit like thinking about it. Thinking about that scenario, and it was literally just somebody's opinion, and it might have stemmed from like a 5-minute meeting or something or whatever, and it was their opinion, and it just was founded on what it was, and that's it. You don't have to, I guess I've learned over the years to take from it what I need to take from it. So A, is there something for me to learn? B, I think maybe I'll reverse. A is discernment. Like, I need to discern whether this is just something, I don't know, spitefully said or off the cuff, or is this something that is, there's something for me to learn? Because sometimes there's just an aspect of it you need to, you need to learn, or you need to, as you said, feedback, time, all of those things. So I think it tends to happen across the board. But I think the unique thing about creatives is also, I find it's a bit of a cycle, because creatives, you are naturally programmed to create, right? So what happens is when all those things come in and they start eating at your, your self-esteem, and you start thinking, and it becomes, spirals into something else. When all of that happens, you then stop creating. You got two prong thing where you're dwelling on those opinions or dwelling on those, those things, and then you also have stopped doing what you're actually wired to do, which is kind of a downside as well, because you are programmed to create and to, you know, God's put you here to do certain things, and the things you need to release, and some of them are actually placed for certain times, like this is what you need to do in this season, in this time, and you then miss the boat because you were so fearful, or you were, you know, you were held back, and then it just is a, you know what I mean, it's a cycle, it just then adds on to it. You didn't actually do what you needed to do when you needed to do it, so it just becomes this thing, and then it starts to eat at you. So I think it's actually more, that's another reason I think it's, you know, more prevalent with creatives. But there's something as well, I we'll go on to like the sort of root cause in a sense, or, you know, root cause, potential solution in all of this, but there's something you mentioned as well when we spoke about the association piece, and I think it's something to touch on as well, from sort of maybe even more sort of musician perspective, because that's quite unique.
I guess, remind me about the association, because it's, I guess, association as opposed to being a part of. That was that?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's, you know, naturally as musicians, you know, and it happens, you know, with singers as well. You get, people tend to latch onto the association. So you're a musician, you play for next to next. So you do
But it's right there. It's right in what you've just said. You know, we do. So we become what we do, and what we do is just associate with other people. So I all of a sudden become a broadcaster because I'm associated with a, like, you know, a higher or more prominent broadcaster. All of a sudden. So I do all I can to strategically position myself to be on Adia Talks by Mo, because I know, you know, because I am, because you've got like a, you know, a million followers or something like that. And then, so rather than saying I came to present value from myself, it's like I'm saying it so I can say I was on Adia Talks. And as great as that is, what happens if Adia Talks doesn't, you know, promote me, or, oh, we had great time, then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh no, you know, last week, and it could have been something as simple as there was an error in a post going out, you know, and then all of a sudden, because all I am focused on is the association with you, then all of a sudden that my whole value and my whole being is taken away by the fact that you did not post, which I was hoping would get to your million followers, and I can kind of piggyback off that and all that. But if I am me and I bring my value, then it doesn't really matter, because I am a partner in this engagement right now. I'm bringing something of worth. I'm bringing something of value to the table. That is why I'm sitting here right now. It's a whole total different mindset, as opposed to, wow, what a privilege. And it is a privilege, don't get me wrong, but it's almost from that standpoint, you almost feel like, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve, you mean, what do I know? This is, without this, this is going to make or break me. You know, it's like, no, actually, I am here because I bring something of value. And that's why Mo got me on here. And so when I give it, I don't care whether I've got 10 followers or a million followers or 10 million followers. It has nothing to do with that, but it has everything to do with who I am and not what I do. So it's just that whole association thing is, it's something that it's almost rampant. You know, you ask a creative, so how are you doing? How's work or whatever, or what you've been up to? Oh, the first thing they want to tell you about is who they're associated with. Or I went on the road with this person. I just finished a studio session with that person. And it's like, well, I didn't ask you that. You know, I didn't ask you, where did you go? Yeah. I just said, how are you? You know, how is work? You know, it they are just questions about you and what, who you are and what you do, if anything, not who you have been with. So then It's almost like when you find that happening a lot, you find that they might, and it's quite interesting actually, because there's a filtering happening when they're talking. And I know it because I've done it before as well. So you're speaking to someone and they ask you a question and you're trying to filter out the biggest names that you've worked with to drop in that conversation because you feel like that is the only way that person is going to value. Yeah.
Thanks for
So it's just
valuing
what
you.
you place value in, as opposed to actually have a conversation. You know, you if you have something in you it can't help but come out. So if you have a 10, 5 minute conversation, even less than that, with someone that has got a lot of depth, it shows immediately. You know, because they don't have to think about it. It just oozes out. So I find that the association versus partner thing is partly, again, to do with we haven't spent enough time, in my opinion, developing who we are, especially as creatives. So because of that, when someone gives you feedback, it's like a house that's built on sand. So when the wind of criticism comes in or feedback comes in, it just knocks you off. But when you've figured out who you are, understanding that, and you've got stronger roots, when someone says something, yes, it might sway you a little bit, and you're like, okay, cool, I can put it in its rightful place. And then, like you said earlier on, you can be discerning of whether it's even applicable to you, you know? And then you just keep it moving and then you grow. Because I heard it put like this once. Anyone who has never made a mistake has never made anything before. If you
Word.
don't make a mistake, you make
Word.
nothing. So mistakes are part of the game. Mistakes are part of life. And you learn from those mistakes and then you keep moving forward. So the idea that making a mistake then makes you less of a person, that is just a symptom to show that you don't have deep foundations or deep enough foundations to survive in the world that we live in.
Yeah, that right there is like, I wasn't even going to touch on this, but as you have said it, it just is something that I just want to free somebody from today. Because often we are told, and I had this before when I started, in music, like started doing it more seriously. I'll probably look back now and think the things I won't have done or the things, the different decisions I would have made and all that. But I look back and think, to be honest, that time was a learning time, and I look back in 4 years from now and think that, maybe the things, other things I should have done. But that period of time was a learning time. And I remember a lot of people saying to me, you need to decide what sort of, I don't know, quote unquote artist or like what sort of thing you want to do. And I really struggled because I was like, why are you trying to put me in a box? Like, but for me, now I look back and I think that helped me to define, that period helped me to define myself in a sense, or to come to the understanding of who, what not who I am, because that's not like what I do is not who I am, but to come to the understanding of what God has said I should do and how he said I should do it. It's kind of those processes. But I heard, there's a lot of like, you need to take the time to almost decide it first before you spring forth and release anything or do what you need to do. There was a lot of that, and I just want to I'm sharing that to encourage somebody and just to free you from this thing which we're told, where we need to do this, we need to, because I was thinking back, I think it was last week, and I was thinking how one person in particular, I think, I don't know, I remembered her, and there's so many things she said to me around music. And I then looked back, I was thinking about it last week, and I was like, a lot of those things were not biblical in the sense that she's saying, well, if God doesn't, if this doesn't work this way, then it means God is not in it, if this doesn't happen. I was like, hang on, there are these examples in the Bible. It wasn't a smooth road. Like, look at David, look at, like, it just wasn't. So why are you? But at the time, I believed that. I really did believe, because the person was more seasoned than me, more experienced than me. I looked up to the person. I wasn't as discerning, all of that. And I look and I think, my God, how many people are dealing with things that they've just been told, you know, like, this is how it works, so this is how it is, you know, so if you don't fit this mold, therefore, you know, or you can't afford to make a mistake, you know, it has to be perfect, you have to do it this way, you have to, all of those things. And it's like, you then hold back from doing what you need to do. So I kind of just wanted to touch on this just because, you know, for me, I had a lot of, you can't do this, you need to do this, you need to do it that way. And it just was like talk, not founded on anything. And I made some decisions, which I probably won't make now, but those were learning experiences for me. Those have helped me to move forward. Those have shown me, okay, this is how you do things. That's helped me to say, okay, if I'm coaching somebody else, these are some things you want to think about, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think you're spot on with what you said. I think the association is so key, of the name dropping, the this. And I think social media, no lie, yes, does play a role nowadays in that, because before it will come from a what you've seen, you know, but now it's like, I've seen it, you know, somebody's across the world, you've seen what they've done, or they tag this, or they're associated. And it's like, a lot of the times I'm thinking, can you just make sure you're associated with heaven first? Like, that's your first association. Like, make sure they know you. No, honestly, because it's just, you know, maybe grieves is a strong word, but it's like, can you make sure that's your first association before all of this, you know? And there's this, yeah, it's a culture that's kind of been developed or kind of born out of all of that. But I think, you know, kind of taking it back to like what you said about the separation of what you do and who you are, like where the problem actually starts. I just remembered as well, I was once doing a training, maybe a few months ago. I was doing a training and we had my kind of coach was on. It was all on, it was like on Zoom or something. And he said, well, I meant to introduce ourselves and just like say who we are. Literally all but one person, and I was guilty. It's like, oh, my name is blah blah blah, I work this is why, you know, this is what I do. And he was like, all of you have just described yourself based on what you do, and not, there's only one person that maybe said, I'm a child,
right,
of God,
right.
Like, you know.
So we all, I said, right, like, yeah, we're all guilty. Sorry? To be honest, we're all guilty.
Honestly, and that's the automatic thing, because that's what, like, that's exactly what the world trains you to do anyway. That's normal, in terms of how the world operates. But it's some of that that's kind of been, we call it Babylonian thinking, that's been, you know, imbibed in our mind of like how we then therefore you know, therefore think of ourselves, and our identity gets entangled with that. So once what we do is crushed or something happens, it greatly affects us. Because then it's like, oh, I must be a failure, I'm just no good, all of that. So my sort of starting point with this is it's identity. More than often, it's identity crisis. Now, I know we're talking about mental health, so I'm not playing down like any of the, you know, broader or, you know, more, you know, there are different sorts of mental health, but like, or mental disorders, but, you know, some of the more serious mental disorders, and I'm not playing that down. I know the medical reasons, and all sorts, it's complicated. But just in terms of where we latch onto like thought processes, which usually where depression, anxiety, those things start, more than often it's just latched onto identity. And one of my mentors said, actually, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about something, and she said, you know, your mind is a workshop. Literally is a workshop. So everything you produce, even in the stuff that you, you know, that you're saying, what I do, whatever you produce, actually comes, it starts from your mind. So your, you know, how you think of yourself in terms of who you are will actually, you know, generate what you produce and what you do and how effectively you do it, etc. But your mind is a workshop, so that is literally where you need to start dealing with, you know, dealing with anything. It needs to be, you know, you need to treat the actual cause as opposed to just the symptoms. But you know, the mind is a workshop, and it's you know, identity. And when I say identity, it's the identity of who God says you are, like your identity in Christ. Like, It is so key. It is so, so important that we understand who we are. And I don't, I mean, I've been a Christian for, I've lost track of the number of years, but for the good fraction of being a Christian, I mean, I've been a Christian, like, you know, you grow up in a Christian, well, you grow up, your parents go to church. I'm one of them.
Exactly.
And you just follow, you know, like, you just do what you do. But like being a Christian in terms of in a serious sense for a number of years, yes. And I'll say in that fraction of time, the identity things and the things about who God says you are and all of this were never really highlighted to me that much, in a sense. You know, God is so multidimensional. There's so many aspects to God. So I'll say there are probably more other aspects to God I got to really know. But I think, and I would say my serious growth years have been in more recent years. And it's the identity part. I've begun to understand more about who God is. Like, yes. Who God is to me. Because that's first and foremost. And then I begin to see myself in Him and understand who He says I am. And the more you build that foundation, the more, you know, nothing or, you know, other it can't shake me. Like seeing a comment about something, you know, can't shake me as much. Or even if it does, I go back to understanding. I almost like submit it to God. I know that, okay, God, this is a part I still need to deal with about who you say I am surrounding this, because it can't be about what's produced or what, you know, what people say.
Yes.
It's actually who you say I am that's the final say, you know. But what are your thoughts around the whole identity?
Oh, yes. Oh, man, that's a big topic for me. And, you know, something that we might have to talk about fully on another at another time. But the thing about identity is you said something about God's God being multidimensional, and this is what I believe. I believe that God is more that multidimensional, and He created us in His image. But because of how sovereign and how almighty He is, He has now put different facets of Himself into each and every one of us. So when we come together to do something and partner together to do things, we glorify God because we start to bring the different facets of it like a jigsaw, you know, and to represent, oh, wow, this is a side of who God is, or this is a kind of... But what has happened in the past is this, I feel, and it still happens now, is if I'm a strong character, and I believe that, oh, you know, this is what a good person should look like, or this is what a good identity is, you know, so you can say, yes, you are a true representation of your father. It's something that in Africa is said a lot, because it's all about patriarchal, and it's like, oh, yes, you know, when you go out, you represent your father. You know, so do it like this. You know, when you don't, if you go out like with a rough beard or rough hair that's not combed or whatever, well groomed, they will say things like, "Ah, you don't look like the son of somebody." Right. So when you cut your hair low and you know, you do certain things, they're like, oh wow, now you look like the true son of your father. It's something that is said, and it's something, but that is someone's idea, an ideal that is being like kind of forced onto someone else. So, you know, now when you have people having reverse mohawks, colored hair as a guy, all sorts of things, beard gang thing going on, man. In some places, will probably give them a heart attack, you know. But does that make the other person less of a person? No, it doesn't. That's just someone's ideal of who it is. So what you said was so important, that really we find our identity in looking at the person who created us like Himself. and say, okay, you created me like you. So if I get to know you, I'll see a mirror. You will become my mirror. As opposed to looking at, no offense, but if I look at you, Mo, you cannot be my mirror. Because you have your own specific ideals on who you are. And the minute I turn you into my mirror, I start to err and I'm start to deviate from course. Because I now start to try and be like Mo. Oh, it seems like, yeah, it's not like I can't be inspired by Mo, but I should be trying to be like who God has created me to be. So the deeper I go in him, the more I see myself. You know what I mean? Then, like you say, then when someone says something, it doesn't matter because I'm like, this is who God is. When people came to find Jesus and said, oh, you know, we've been looking for you. I think it was Mary. They said, we've been looking for you and you went missing. Da, 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 da. And just like, can you imagine actually saying that to your parent? If you're, you know, black person, don't you know that I am meant to be, you know, that is a very bold statement on so many levels. But he was so sure of himself that even his earthly parents' ideals, I'm not advocating, by the way, for anybody to go out there and do that because and say, well, that guy on Idea Talk said, gauze, that, you know,
Especially
no, I'm
if
not saying
you
that.
have
But
an
all I'm saying is, if you look at that, he was so sure of his identity that he knew what he was meant to do and who he was at every point. Because he was young didn't mean that he didn't know who he was. But he had spent time knowing that I'm about my father's business. I'm meant to be in my father's house. And if you look at the words that he said, be, I'm meant to be in my father's house. I'm meant to exist in my father's house. So it's those kind of things. So I think that the thing about identity in a nutshell, which we can't even get into it really, is go to the manufacturer to understand who you are. It's as simple as that. A Samsung TV is a Samsung TV and it gets its identity from the manufacturer. Simple.
100%, 100%. The
Yeah.
manufacturer tells it what it's meant to do, how it's meant to
Correct.
function, what its capacity is, everything. The manufacturer, the manual that the manufacturer creates tells you
Correct.
all about
So
what that TV is. And it doesn't matter what, anyone is
exactly. And
saying, that's how it's been created.
I'll say this. I mean, like you say, if someone says Samsung TV is an LG TV, you don't, or a TV is a laptop, you don't exactly argue with it, right? You're like, well, I know I am not that. Or if someone says you now, Mo, are you sure you're female or male? You don't even entertain that. You just be like, I know who I am. I don't need you to come and tell me. So with the same level of confidence that we're able to do something like that or say that, it should be the same way the more we get close to our manufacturer, our maker, I should call it, you know, use the proper term, the easier it becomes to say, hey, when you tell me I am something, I know I am not that thing because that's just not in my makeup. Simple. I don't need to argue with you. I've got no bone of contention to pick with you, but you say it, I don't believe it because I know who I am. I know that I am wonderfully and wonderfully fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I know that I am a being of power. I'm a being of intelligence. I'm a being of love. I'm a being of sound. I've got sound mind. That these are my
Have mind
antidotes
correct.
to everything that someone might say, contrary to who God says I am. But I need to go and know these things. When I know them, then I can become those things. And then I can now work from a place of being this person. And then I start to do it. It becomes easier. You know, so I have this thing. I know it's in Daniel 11:32, I believe. It's those who know their God will be strong and then do exploits. So I always just say, no, be do. When I get into a hazy space, I say, well, what do you know about this current place right now? And who do you need to be to do what you're trying to do? And it's a very hard thing, but it's those are the tools that you now use to combat some of the negative things. And, you know, some I heard it put like this as well. You cannot outperform your self-image. You can never outperform your self-image. So the image of you hold of yourself is to the maximum level that you're going to output anything. So if you think I'm not good enough to be on the stage, then that is what you're going to do. Because whatever you think on consistently is what you do. As a man thinketh, so is.
As a man thinketh, is. That's exactly what will come out. Yeah. There is so we can't much touch that on you this have said. All. I feel like because there are things I really want to like really really draw out. But I want to mention a couple of things came as you were talking. You know, and I think this is really important because people really do this, and I have people I look up to. People are fantastic in my life, but anything else is a bonus from what God said. Like any other good thing or whatever that anybody else thinks or says is a bonus. The first and foremost of what who you are is what you know who God says you are. What I want to draw out is idolizing. There is a lot of idolization, a lot of idolization that goes on in the body, in the creative side. You know, let's just even say music ministry as well, of people looking up to people. It's almost like sometimes I find like we're worshiping either the song or the person more than the God that we're meant to be. There's so much this, and it's wonderful to have all these great things, but I often feel like we're losing sight of God. You know, we become so attached to this person, this thing, you know, all of that. You know, sometimes we overlook certain things. Sometimes some things are done, they're not quite biblical in a sense, and we just accept it because we just, it's this person, so they can do no wrong. You know, so there's a danger in that. And I know we look up to people, we have mentors, we have people that, you know, inspire us in a sense, you know, even some people speak into our lives, and it's wonderful and it's great, but we mustn't replace that with God, putting God as number one and letting him lead us each time. And I say this, you know, quite often to people, I say discernment is a constant process. You need to constantly discern. Just because somebody did something last month and they've been consistent for the last month, doesn't mean that everything they're going to do is going to be the same as it was. People have good intentions. They start off with the right intentions, but you must always discern. You must always constantly discern, because God doesn't change, but people change. Sometimes they don't even realize they've changed. And often is because they, over time, kind of grew away from the word, or something happened and they've changed, but we haven't picked up on it. We just continues to go with the flow. So I just wanted to, I don't want to dwell too much on that, but I wanted to make that point. And then I wanted to really quickly, and thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure.
Really appreciate it on the Idea Talks show. But really wanted to quickly, because I want to make sure we highlight this. Now, we're talking from our music experience is mainly in the Christian side of things. So church really, you know, it is our experience. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about the stigma around race with mental health, but there's also a sort of church view, right? So, you know, you're a Christian, what are you talking about? You're dealing with depression, or you have anxiety.
Yes, deliverance.
What's that? Pray it out. You know, this is it. And honestly, I'm a prayer. Like I love to pray. Mm. I believe that a lot of things are spiritual. You know, there's all of that. But sometimes sometimes I view it as, you know, if you don't get your mind right, we can pray it out, but the door's still open, or you haven't figured out how to, you know, the door hasn't been shut. So anything can, you know how the enemy, as word says, goes around just looking for how to, so, you know, all of that. But I guess what is your view in terms of the whole the Christian side to things, because before you speak, I'm going to say, you know, we must remember that we are, you know, the spirit, soul, and body. So we're made up of three parts. First and foremost, we are spirit. So that's, you know, our spirit is saved when we become saved. But yeah, there's the body,
yes,
you know, that's there, and then there's the soul. So we must remember, you know, and what the word says, renew your mind, constantly renew your mind, you know, meditate on this book of lore day and night, you know. So there is something to be done, because it's the mind that needs, there's an action that the word actually tells us to do, and it's not, you know, it's telling us to do so. So there is still a view of the mental state of your mind, but I'll leave you to maybe what is your kind of view on the whole
thing sometimes? I mean, it's, for me, it's very simple. I, you know, you said spirit, soul, and body. I actually, out of that, I see there are four strands. You have the spiritual side of things. You have the physical side of things. Then you have your emotional side of things. And then you have your mental side of things. So if you look at those as four strands, they are interdependent of each other. But what we tend to say or do, or actually say, I guess, or believe in church is that the spiritual covers everything. And I always use this simple example. I said, okay, cool. If I have, I'm trying to develop a six pack, right? And I've currently got a one pack. Well, that's not what we're here to talk about, no. yes, let's move on. Especially in COVID. So yeah, so trying to develop a six pack or whatever. Do I change my eating habits and do the exercise, or do I go and pray at it? It sounds very simple and simplistic and laughable, actually. Like, oh, how can you go and pray about getting a six pack? You know, but you don't. You just change your eating habits. You know, eat better quality food, eat your greens, reduce your carbs or whatever, then do your exercises, all the different things that you need to do to get that sorted. And to achieve that, I say the same thing with your mental health. I say the same thing with your emotional health and the same thing with your spiritual health. They're interdependent of each other. And this is what the spirit does. It helps you. It can give you the strength or the wisdom or the clarity of mind to go and do something about it, or who to talk to or whatever, but it doesn't take the place of your going to do it. You know, if I have a financial issue, this praying is not going to put the money in my lap. Praying might give me an idea that wasn't naturally going to come if I just going to do all, put it in the mind of some or in the heart of somebody, but there's still something that has to happen for that exchange to happen that I still have to do. Then same with the mental side of things. Look, God gave us free will. And so technically there's a book I was reading that suggests that we are the Lord and master of our own thought. So if we're the master of our own thought, even the idea of thinking that, whatever is happening with us mentally, even to pray about it, we have to have control of that thought to say, hey, I need to go and pray about it. If you cannot control your thought, firstly, forget the spiritual side of things, because you're not going to be able to do what it takes to be disciplined in that. Because even the Bible talks about, those that keep, I'll keep in perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed on him. Then, I can't remember where again, he talks about Isaiah 23, yeah. So, and then there is the part that says, whatever is noble, whatever is good, all those things, I think it's somewhere, is it in Philippians or Timothy? And it says that, on those things, think on those things. So the Bible is so like, it's very clear. You know, it's Philippians 4:8. You say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There's a reason why, is that because We have the power to think first. So when there is something going on with your mental health, go and talk to somebody about it. Go and deal with it, because until you sort that out, you can't function spiritually well. You can't function physically well, because that is the first battlefield. You know, and you are the Lord of it. You are the master of it. You have full control. Yep. That is why God gave us free will. So my thing is, let's not coat it with scripture or anything.
But even if you try to quote it with scripture, God, the scripture is so clear. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Like,
the scripture constantly points to the fact that our mind is the source of a lot. Like it tells us what to do. You know how like
it does.
I believe that the Bible, the scriptures have solutions to everything. Really, we just have to find the depth of it. But I think we had this conversation, you know, 2 days ago. But we probably can't go into like the full, you know, part of it right now. But I believe so strongly that there's so many things that we have been. There's so much unlearning.
Things have been misguided on, actually.
Done. There's so many, you know, doctrines, denomination, things that are just like you just have a way that this is how we do things, and they just do not. They don't make sense because they don't profit us, and they're not biblical in a sense. We always like, this is how we do it, this is the order, this is how, you know, this is how we've always done it, this is how God says we should, you know, quote unquote how God says we should do it. You know, we don't move with God and what he's saying. He might have said we should do it in season 5 years ago, but we're still doing it because this is just what we're, you know, what we're not staying in tune with him. But you know, we try to take on these things, and then we don't get into the depth of the word. And people don't study the scriptures from a, they don't start studying context, and they don't study reading the entire.
Yeah, but they don't bring their thoughts,
you know, the entire
into the
scripture
study.
In that sense.
That's the thing.
They don't. No, they don't. So it's two things that I believe happen is they don't. We don't study properly in context. You know, full, kind of have the full picture of it. Then we end up picking out scriptures. I've seen people do it before, and I'm thinking, did you read what was actually going on? It would just be a scripture that sounds good, but I was like, did you know what God was saying to the children of Israel or something at that point in time? And we pick out scriptures that we think work for a situation. We just pick it out and so we pray, oh, we just start gurging it out, you know, that. And also, this is the danger of a lot of people do not read the Bible with Holy Spirit. So we read the Bible, we're already going with a closed mind. So it's like, we already know the scripture. We've known it. Well, okay, I must read my Bible. Let me tick my box. And you start reading. And then you're just reading and reading. And you're not, Holy Spirit is highlighting things to you. But because your mind is so fixated on, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. You're not even open to hearing what Holy, you know, the revelation is giving you. Or the truth that he's bringing to your awareness.
Yeah.
Because your pastor told you.
Yeah.
This is it. You know. There's a lot of. There's a lot of that.
There are actually so many offshoot podcasts from everything we've talked about.
But I'm so passionate about freeing people. Like, just seriously, like, even people I've looked up to in the past, I'm just like, you need to go and, you know, study the scriptures, understand, let Holy Spirit actually do a work in you. I'm no way perfect. I'm just saying, just with, you know, with experience and all that. But, I'm conscious of time, and again, I'm so thankful for it, for, you know, your time. But want to just like round up with a few things. I want to just share. I just, you know, made some notes about before this, things that can help people that are, you know, dealing with you know, any sort of mental health issues. You're not sure. You might think, you know, you're questioning, is there an issue I have, or you just feel like you need to talk to somebody. You know, there's all of this. Now, I'm going to recommend two outlets I know. One I know pretty well, actually. The Christian, you know, emotional, you know, there's one called Emotional Mentoring. There's one that deals with the mind as well. They're two Christian outlets, and then I also just, you know, from the sort of, as I say, it's UK Mental Health Awareness Week. So a few things that, you know, were recommended as well, which people can tap into resources, because we just want to definitely leave you with what to do. And then I'll just, and I'm sure Gus will kind of give a bit of a recommendation as well. But want to, you can follow these on Instagram. So one handle is called The Mind Cafe on Instagram. And they actually have an event, I think it's every Sunday or every few Sundays. But once you go to The Mind Cafe on Instagram, you will be able to kind of click into the link and see. So they have an event that's kind of talks about pathways to emotional well-being and all of that. I believe it's by Dr. Cornelius Brown. And then the other one, which I'm know quite well, is called Emotional Development 312 on Instagram. And they do a lot of emotional mentoring. And, you know, it's so important, as we've spoken about, you know, the mind and emotions and getting all of that in check. There's also organizations like mind.org.uk, there's samaritans.org, there's the Calm Zone. Those are some things that are out there in terms of just kind of general well-known resources for mental health. So just wanted to touch on those as well. And I know we spoke a lot about identity, and I think, again, this will probably be another podcast, but my encouragement to anyone who is dealing with this is really getting to know who God is and know who you are, and actually beginning to speak his word over yourself, like actually beginning to speak that word, because sometimes you saying it out to yourself begins to trigger your mind to actually hearing yourself, you know, in a sense, call it affirmation or whatever people, I'm careful about how I use that word, but it's just in the sense of you're actually hearing what God says about you out aloud, and it's coming from you, because then you then come to understand, oh yes, he says, I am, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, all the things he said, you know. So really spend some time really in the word. There's no escape from all of this without the word. It's really just delving into the word to understand who God is, and, you know, ask God to open your eyes to that, and also just begin to speak his word over yourself. Or you might be the person that writes it or whatever it is, but begin to actually speak what he says about you to yourself, understand, or somehow get it through to yourself of understanding who God says you are. That's before all of these other resources I said, that's the first thing to do. But of course, you know, talk to someone, all of that good stuff.
I think you covered them any quite sort of comprehensively, actually. I know mind.org.uk, it's very good, but I would also say, if possible, and if you're able to do it, be very intentional about your environment and what you allow to feed you, because a lot of mental health things, just based on conversations I've had with professionals, especially ones that are caused by triggers and all of that, it's just what you allow to feed your mind. And one of the things they recommend is, well, if you understand yourself a bit more and you understand what the triggers are, then try to avoid those triggers. And so avoid those environments. So it'll be quite key. In addition to all the things Mo has just listed, I would say one of the things that you can do for yourself is be very intentional about your environment. Find a safe space. Where even if it's just one person or two people, where you can just be yourself, no judgment and all of that. It might be hard at first, but it's possible. But we just have to be intentional about it. We're not here to please any particular person, but it's about making sure that you are doing okay.
Yeah. 100%. I actually wrote that down. Understand your triggers. That's awesome. I was gonna ask you, you know, you're an apostle.
No.
And I'm sure I'm not the only person that's called you that, but anyway. You know, I was gonna ask you to, like, you know, pray for us, but I also wanted to ask if you know, I know you have another Instagram, like you said, an Instagram page.
And yes.
There's a.
Yes, real quick, it's something called the Christian Musicians Network. And simply all we do on the what God, the, what actually the vision God gave me was to build and create a safe space, this safe space I'm talking about, for musicians to come and become, where they're accepted for who they are. They come in, they're mentored, both virtually and where possible, directly. Just have access, nothing's a stupid question, just the acceptance thing, first of all. And then empower them to be, not just to do. That's the thing. So everything. Create a safe space and empower the musicians there to be and not just to do. So it's a new initiative. And we've been going for a month, but God has been really, really good to us, and it's been it's growing like quite fast, actually, considering that we're doing it quite organically. We're not going to shout on social media, hey, we're all here, because we just want to build a sustainable environment, and also hopefully people that come in would come in with a discerning spirit, so that we can keep the environment as safe as we possibly can, without free from judgment, and all of that. So that's what we do, and we hope to do it as long as God will enable us. Yes, Christian
And it's
Musicians
called, is it
Network. Yeah,
called Christian
it's
Musicians
on
Network
Instagram, and
on?
that you'll be able to find. We've got like a link that we, so we've got a website that we're building, but you can also put your information on the website, christianmusiciansnetwork.com. So it's plural musicians. So christianmusiciansnetwork.com. You can put an email there, and we'll contact you once things get like up and running. But if you want to DM us directly now, go on our Instagram page, and then you can send us a request, especially in this time right now. We also have a private WhatsApp group, that you can be a part of, and we have weekly calls where we just chat, where we empower each other, inspire each other, and challenge each other to grow and just become more.
That is so awesome. That is definitely when I
Yes.
started out properly in music, I felt like I needed that. Not that I don't now. I've actually joined. So, yeah, I definitely did. So I encourage you musicians out there to do the same. Especially in these times, right? Just if you, even if you're doing okay, it's sometimes good to plug
Yes.
into things where you have a community, a network. You be the light. It doesn't
Correct.
always have to be about you receiving. You also give. So sometimes
That's good.
plugging into something just to be the light, to be what you need to be. So thank you so much for that. So we're finally at the
Yes.
end, but I'm going to please
No
ask you
problem.
to pray just to remind yourself,
No problem.
and
No
I will
problem
let
at all.
you get on with the rest of your
Father Lord, we
evening.
just thank you. Thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for this time of discussion. Thank you for the light that has come out of this discussion and all the wisdom that has been shared, Lord. Thank you for your insight. And Lord, I pray for every listener, every ear that would listen now and in the future and years to come, that Lord, I pray that you keep their minds in perfect peace, Lord Jesus, through turbulent times. Lord, they will know stability in you.
Lord.
Father Lord, I pray that Lord, the outlook of their self-image would always be held up high, and something that would be held in, that will look like you and what you have created us to be continually, Lord Jesus. Lord, be our help. Lord Jesus, help us to be discerning of our environment. Help us to be discerning about the words that we allow feed into our minds, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that we ask that everybody that is connected to this podcast, Lord, that they will do great and mighty things for you, Lord Jesus. Mental health issues will not be their portion in the mighty name of Jesus. And even if they have suffered or feel anything like that, we declare a healing, oh Lord, and a restoration, Lord, that they of their mental space, because they have, we declare over
Yes.
every each and everyone that we have the mind of Christ. Lord, so we thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the
Yes.
greatness that is in each and everybody listening, even right now, Lord Jesus. Help us see ourselves the way you see us. And we just pray
Thank
that you
you.
continue to be our God. You guard our hearts. You guard our minds with your perfect peace that passes all human understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Thank you. Father.
My
thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you so much.
I was going to say you should stop this, but
hey, for God.
This is what it is, man.
For being on this podcast.
Oh.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast. We truly
yes, I look forward
it.
To being back. And thank you for doing what you're doing. This is amazing. Just getting your friends, getting people, thought leaders to come in and share. That's amazing. We need more light. We need more salt in the world right now. You know, so amazing work, Mo. I really appreciate you for all that you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you. Bless God. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, people, thank you so much for listening. I pray and I know that you are blessed. You know, and I encourage you to share this podcast with somebody. Even if you don't think that they need it, just share it with them because you never know what people are going through. But thank you so much. Take care, guys. Speak to you soon on your next.
Well, listeners, people, thank you so much for staying tuned. I hope you found this podcast, this episode particularly, and this podcast in general. I hope you found it useful. I hope you learned something new. I hope it put things in a bit more perspective for you. This week, particularly in the UK, this week that this podcast is out is Mental Health Awareness Week. So I encourage you to know, you know, take a step of being aware, especially in this time that we're living in, just checking in on people, seeing how they're doing and doing what you can. And, you know, if you feel like you need help, actually seeking that help and not shying away from that. So again, thank you for all your love and support. I just, you know, really am blessed by this podcast, this episode specifically, and obviously other episodes we've shared. So I encourage you to go the extra step and share this with somebody. Let's grow our listeners. Let's get people, you know, hearing the right things that they need to hear, and, you know, getting in the right state of mind and all sorts of things we talk about. So I encourage you to share with somebody. And we're going to be starting a segment on this podcast very soon, making the announcement, in fact, this week, of, you know, helping to spread, share the love and share what others are doing, be it, you know, events, be it things that you're putting out there, you know, products, etc., etc. Really keen to really help people, you know, grow their network and get other people to see what they're doing. So look out for more of that on our Instagram page, Adia Talks Community. Now, Adia Talks Community, follow us. If you don't, look out for the details of that. But, you know, it would have information about what we're looking for, what we're looking to, you know, how we're looking to help you, etc. So, you know, we have a segment dedicated to that now. So super duper excited. So thank you again. As I mentioned, our Instagram handle is Adia Talks Community. We are Adia Talks on Facebook. We are Adia Talks on Twitter as well. And if you are a female, you're looking for a group to pray with, to hear some nuggets of wisdom, we have our Adia Talks prayer room currently on Facebook. So if you want to join that is all there for you to join. We do have a website, but that's currently under construction. We'll be having sort of we're rejigging things a lot, making it a lot more useful and resourceful to you guys. So look out for all of that soon. So take care. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye.